Lecture 24, Wisdom Literature, Conclusions.
Our previous lecture was on Akhenaten and Nefertiti, and we examined two sets of documents, the Amarna letters and the famous hymn to the sun attributed to the king Akhenaten. This lecture, our concluding lecture, will be on wisdom literature, ancient Near Eastern myth, and the Bible. And in this lecture, I will survey a body of writing that we today call wisdom literature. There are some representations of this in the Bible, in the book of Proverbs, in the books of Ecclesiastes and Job. And these texts and parallel texts from Egypt, Mesopotamia, and the Hittites grapple with some of humanity's oldest questions, questions that have been raised in the mythic material, and we're now going to see how the wisdom material answers these questions. We've encountered many of these during the class. How should people conduct their lives? What is the meaning of life? In the narratives, in the myths, many of these questions are answered indirectly in wisdom literature, and this, in fact, could be a direct definition of wisdom literature. The questions are answered directly. The writer tells you what he or she thinks the answers to ultimate questions are. The power of myth is in its subtlety, in its indirection. Wisdom literature is direct. And I will begin with some instruction, some wisdom from short collections, one from Egypt, one from Mesopotamia. And then we will move to the question of suffering, and especially to the issue of why the good suffer. A Babylonian text, which today we refer to as the Babylonian Theodicy, addresses these issues in what I think is a very moving and direct way. And looking at the themes addressed in literature will enable us to go back and look at the material in the course and see how questions are answered both by myth and by instruction. So in terms of literature, we can distinguish between two types of wisdom conveyed and two methods used to convey that wisdom. One is in short sayings, in proverbs, and we've seen this in previous lectures. And another is through dialogue. This is more like the classical, the Greek and Roman tradition, where two people engage in a conversation and some piece of wisdom emerges from their conversation. In a previous lecture about marriage and divorce and other arrangements, I gave you some of the great wisdom of the Egyptians. One that I keep coming back to is don't live in the house with your in-laws. They kept saying this. Well, that's not told in a story. That's a piece of advice. We've seen that similar advice can be inferred from story. But in the case of wisdom literature, we're going to look at both the wisdom delivered in a direct manner and delivered in a dialogic manner. Now, a very early Egyptian collection, The Instructions of the Vizier Ptahhotep, is in a form that should be familiar to us already. A father is writing to his son. The father is the vizier, the second to the king, the counselor to the king. And he expects his son to follow in his footsteps. We've seen this throughout our series. As in the scribal profession, the son is expected to take the job of the father when the father leaves. And when the father leaves the earth, really, because the father remains in the job and in power until they die. There is no sense of retirement in these cultures. You keep working. And in terms of patriarchy, you remain the patriarch until your last day. What are the kinds of things that this father tells his son? Let not your heart be puffed up because of your knowledge. Take counsel from the ignorant as well as from the wise. Good speech is more hidden than the emerald. It may be found with maidservants at the grindstones. A theme in Egyptian culture we've encountered a few times. It is not only the rich and powerful who have wisdom. You may find it with the maidservants. Recall the eloquent peasant. He was only a peasant, but he was so eloquent that he was able to make his way to the king.